Welcome to Season 5 of The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, where we talk with enterprise and technology platform leaders about the people, processes, and platforms that make marketing and customer experience successful, scalable, and sustainable. This is what creates an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advisor and consultant for Fortune 1000 marketing and CX leaders and teams as principal and chief strategist at GK5A and best-selling author, keynote speaker, entrepreneur, and Agile certified coach. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. To sign up for the Agile Brand newsletter and get the latest insights and articles on marketing technology and CX, or to purchase a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, go to gregkilstrom.com. You can also find all my books on Amazon and other retailers. And now on to the show. By 2023, 65% of the world's population will have its data covered under modern privacy regulations, according to Gartner. With this, marketers and advertisers are under increasing pressure to both adhere to data privacy regulations while maintaining and increasing the effectiveness of their efforts. Today, we're going to talk about first-party data approaches, mad tech, and how marketers and advertisers can be more successful in a world that is increasingly focused on consumer data privacy. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Jonathan Moran, Head of MarTech Solutions Marketing at SAS. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me. Longtime listener, enjoy your podcast, but a first-time participant, so happy to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for joining here. Looking forward to diving in here. So why don't we get started by you giving a little background on yourself, as well as what makes SAS unique in its space?
Yeah, absolutely. So a little bit about me. I've been working in enterprise MarTech for 20 years for a variety of companies, both international and domestic. I'm based in Raleigh, North Carolina, along with my wife and two kids. So currently I'm with a company that's called SAS, which is one of the analytics and data management really pioneers, dating back over 40 years, right? Getting its start in the mid 70s. SAS is a bit unique in that we not only provide data management and analytics technologies, but we also have solutions that sit on top of those core data management analytics solutions, right? And so these software solutions focus on risk management, fraud and security intelligence, and lastly, MarTech and AdTech, right? Which we call customer intelligence. So our marketing and advertising solutions leverage the technologies and the capabilities from the broader business at SAS, which really helps our solutions stand out in the marketplace from a strength of offering perspective. When we talk about marketing and advertising solutions in conjunction, we refer to it as customer intelligence at SAS, but that's essentially what it is. So that's a little bit about me and kind of what I focus on, running the marketing for our MarTech and AdTech offerings at SAS.
Great. So SAS released a white paper a little while ago called Where Does Marketing Stop and Advertising Begin? And it discusses first-party data strategies, which we've talked about quite a bit on this show and still very, very timely for those listening. And the topics we're going to cover today are really based on some of the findings as well as some of the items discussed in that white paper. So there's three main strategic actions that are recommended within the white paper. And we'll start with the first, and that is to double down on first-party data strategies. So first, as a starting point, even though I touched on it in the introduction, can you paint the picture of what are some of the challenges that marketers and advertisers are currently facing with first-party data strategies, just so we have some background?
Yeah, absolutely. So, when we talk about marketing and advertising solutions in conjunction, right, we commonly refer to that as mad tech, right? So it's a merging of the two terms. As far as challenges that marketers and advertisers are currently facing, it's really, in my mind, it's a convergence of a variety of global factors, right? So today we have this idea of the new kind of digital nomad, right? It's the person that wants to have a hybrid work environment. They want to travel. They want to, you know, use the money that they're making in their tech jobs to really do the things that they love, right? And so, yeah. You know, these types of people are expected to double in number in the next 3 years alone, right? And so what is their lifestyle today, right? We think about, you know, how they live their lives. And really, in the past few years, their work and lifestyle has shifted dramatically. Yeah. You know, and as a result, digital media consumption really skyrocketed, right? We particularly saw that in video and streaming apps, right? You know, the idea here is, you know, online behavior, online purchasing, those sorts of things continue to be, you know, increasing. And at the same time, if we look at kind of the broader networks, you know, true 5G broadband was rolled out to a majority of the United States population. So what does that mean? Well, that means that things like in-game advertising and the metaverse and time spent with augmented and virtual reality, it's all increasing, right? And so, you know, the new channels that we talk about from a customer engagement perspective now, it's no longer direct mail and email and things like that. It's in-game, in-stream, in-app, right? Those are the new kind of engagement channels. And so there's, you know, there's big agencies like Omnicom and others that are forming new divisions to focus solely on in-game media planning and buying, right? And then you've got, you know, companies like Roblox that are, you know, in games like Roblox that are announcing that they'll be launching in-game advertisements. You know, the IAB is updating its advertising standards. So, you know, all of this is indicating this merger of marketing and advertising, because these advertisements are coming into our traditional, what we think of as traditional and emerging marketing channels. And so what this is doing is it's really creating this concept of what I like to call relevance as a service, right? Every digitally enabled consumer wants everything immediately, right? So,
yeah,
you know, on-demand nature of, you think about the on-demand nature of as a service style offerings combined with the personalized content and advertisements that relevance, this idea of relevance provides, right? And these types of relevance as a service offerings allow for kind of hyper-personalization. And we've seen, you know, everything is turning into, we are now in this subscription economy, right? Where we've got, you know, subscription services like Netflix and Spotify and Amazon Subscribe and Save, you know, quick access, it's easy personalization, it's high relevance, and it's, you know, focused at that individual consumer, right? So, you know, marketers are having to account for that. You know, the way that they're doing that is, you know, they're thinking about, okay, what do I need to do from a consumer privacy perspective? What do I need to do from an ecosystem perspective? And they're really, you know, looking at the details that are there, right? So from a privacy perspective, data deprecation is occurring, right? Google's announced their, you know, third-party cookies are gone at the end of 2024. If they don't push it out again in favor of this concept of topics, right? Apple's changing, you know, their email and app privacy protections. And then, you know, new environments are being created, new formats, new channels, you know, Meta's VR headset, you know, it's tracking eye movement, it's tracking facial expressions. So it's, AI is being brought very much to front-end CX. And, you know, as a result, brands are having to think about, how do I maintain consumer data privacy from both a marketing and an advertising perspective, right? And then if we look at the kind of the broader media ecosystem, there's this idea of retail media networks. Yeah. Being able to create and have a retail media network that allows brands to monetize, you know, first-party data is huge, right? This concept of data monetization is very hot, and it's something that marketers and advertisers are thinking about.
Yeah.
The video landscape's changing, right? SVOD to AVOD, ad-supported business models are all the rage now. And then a lot of brands, you know, they want to take the power back over their advertising, which they, you know, traditionally have pushed out to agencies. They're now bringing that back in-house, which is another indicator that mad tech is becoming more and more of a real thing.
Yeah, yeah. So how would you then, given all of that, how would you then define, you know, what is a first party data strategy? Is it kind of all of the above? Is it, you know, how do you define that?
Yeah, I mean, it involves a lot of things, but, you know, if I had to create a simple definition, I think that it's a first party data strategy is, you know, centered on the concept that as data deprecation occurs, right, as second and third party data become harder to ascertain and the quality of the data becomes less because of privacy restrictions, you know, other sorts of things, that brand marketers and advertisers have to focus on zero and, more importantly, first party data, right? So a first party data strategy is a focus on first party data, putting it at the forefront of what you do.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I think about, you know, the different types of data, and I don't know, you know, how many of the listeners are familiar with the different data types, with, you know, simple definitions really quick: zero party data, volunteered to an organization by a customer or prospect. First party data is collecting during interactions whereby, you know, value exchanges occur. I, as a consumer, will give you my data if you give me something of value, a reward, a discount, a loyalty perk, so forth and so on. Second party data shared with an organization from another company, right? And then third party data is aggregated data that's usually sourced from public and non-public sources that the consumer or prospect may not have permitted an organization to use, right? And that's why data deprecation is occurring. So yeah, first party data is all about, you know, that strategy is all about focusing on that most important data type in my mind, which is the first party data.
Before we continue, I'd like to make sure you're aware of the upcoming CXPS 2023 conference, May 8th through 11th, 2023 in Durham, North Carolina. CXPS is a great CX event focused on professional services firms that want to know how to take the next steps to make their firm successful in integrating client experience with their firm's strategic initiatives. To learn more and register for the conference, go to clientexperience.org/CXPS-conference. That's clientexperience.org/CXPS-conference. And you can register with the code AGILE200, that's AGILE200, for $200 off your tickets. You can hear from top professional services executives and CX thought leaders like myself through a combination of keynotes, breakout sessions, workshops, and panel discussions. Make sure to register at clientexperience.org/CXPS-conference with the code AGILE200 for $200 off your tickets. Now let's get back to the show. So there's a lot of components of a first-party data strategy, as you mentioned, but customer data platforms, or CDPs, are certainly a big part of it, and a lot of organizations are looking to CDPs to help them with this. Can you describe how the right CDP or customer data platform can help an organization to achieve their first-party data strategies?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in my mind, a customer data platform has four main components. So I'll talk a minute about each of those four components. So the first main component of a customer data platform really focuses on data ingestion, getting data into the customer data platform. And brands must have the ability to collect data from across channels and devices and points in time in order to develop, you know, that complete customer view. And the data collection has to be granular, right? You can't collect data at an audience level. It's got to be down at the individual consumer level. So there's, you know, technologies that help brands collect that granular data off digital properties. So it often includes, you know, standard first-party data attributes like, you know, customer and prospect, you know, behavioral data. And, you know, it must be able, data must be able to be collected and, you know, ingested across any type of technology platform, right? So it's, you know, the CR data from the CRM application, it's data collected from mobile applications, contact center, so forth and so on. Yeah. And then, you know, when you do have the access to second and third party data, right, whether you're purchasing it, you know, or it's coming in via an exchange or a data clean room or something like that, got to be able to ingest that as well, right? So it's not just, you know, collecting data in a first party manner off branded digital properties. It's also being able to ingest second and third party data as well. So that's kind of the first component. Being able to ingest data from a variety of different channels, solutions, so forth and so on. Second component of a CDP is really around identity management. So once you have the data, how do you perform identity management and resolution, right? And what this involves is creating, you know, a system or processes to join in new data that comes in with existing customer profile data, right? So if I've got, you know, I've got data that already exists about Greg, how do I bring in and append new data, whether it's, you know, data that's anonymous or data that's been authenticated, that sort of thing. So, you know, this data has to be joined in real time, and it's got to have, you know, the ability to be deterministically matched, right? I can't guess. I've got to know. I've got to be able to determine exactly, you know, oh, yes, this is data about Greg. It needs to be appended to his profile. I need to have a single profile that resides in my customer data platform. So, you know, being able to perform identity management and resolution is the second big piece. Third piece is being able to perform what's called audience segmentation. So this is the idea of, you know, grouping customers into audiences in order to execute these different use cases within MadTech, right? So audiences is kind of the next iteration or the next generation of what we used to call segments, right? So audiences are comprised of both, you know, on-site and cloud data, and, you know, these audiences should be dynamically updated with digital customer activity as it streams into the CDP, right? So today we're hearing from a lot of customers and prospects, well, you know, we've got data in like an AWS or a Snowflake or a GBQ or Amazon Redshift, something like that. We need to be able to bring that into our customer data platform. And, you know, the idea of doing that is important. And in order to create audiences, you've got to be able to pull from those data sources. And you've got to, you know, not only apply the simple segmentation methods of the past, but you've got to also include advanced modeling, clustering, and targeting capabilities, right? And so you should be able to do that as you create these audiences that are comprised of both marketing and advertising data. Yeah. And then the fourth piece is really, okay, I've brought the data in, right? I know who the customer is. I've put them in an audience. Now I've got to activate that audience, right? So it's all about customer journey activation. I've got to engage with this audience in some way. So the ability to provision and activate data for these MadTech business use cases is required. So, you know, the audience segments should support omnichannel journey orchestration, right? They should provide, the customer data platform should provide a real-time record of when events are sent and received into applications, right? Be able to collect not only, you know, contact or engagement history, but also how, you know, consumers are responding to these engagements. So, you know, being able to understand the results of customer journey activations should be supported within the customer data platform, right? And we'll talk about that in a little bit more as we kind of move on. But that's using, you know, techniques like multi-touch attribution, you know, journey insight and analytics, so forth and so on.
Yeah, yeah. So the second part of the white paper I wanted to talk about is to use customer understanding and enterprise decisioning. So that the second strategic action mentioned. Can you go into a little detail about what exactly this strategic action should include?
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. So this is really where applying analytical insight to CDP customer data comes into play, right? So creating a customer data platform from, you know, various departments across the organization really develops that level of customer understanding. When customer data is, you know, ingested, sourced, and layered into a customer data platform from all departments, then, you know, layering analytic insight on top of that data becomes much easier. So performing analytics against a comprehensive customer profile versus that siloed channel specific or departmental customer profile makes the most sense. And when you have that comprehensive profile, then you're able to put on top, you know, techniques like, you know, attribution, forecasting, analytical optimization to understand business trade-offs, and then also perform that real-time decisioning where you're using, you know, arbitration and rules and common decisioning techniques to, you know, deliver a priority offer or engagement to a customer. So, you know, when brands have these holistic metrics on the customer that they, you know, derive using analytics, they can understand specific customer metrics that they might not have been able to understand before, right? Net promoter score, conversion propensity by channel, okay, you know, and other data-backed business decisions. So the result of holistic customer understanding and enterprise decisioning is twofold. It improves the customer experience on one hand, but it also improves the operational efficiencies of the organization on the other hand.
Yeah. Yeah. The third strategic action mentioned in the white paper is to embrace data-driven omnichannel customer journey activation and measurement. And this is certainly an area I do plenty of work in this space myself, and I'm most excited about this area. Just, I think there's so much opportunity to innovate and really reach customers in better and more authentic ways using some of these methods. So, you know, when you say data-driven omnichannel customer journey activation and measurement, that's a mouthful there. But yeah, can you paint a picture of, you know, what does that look like from the customer perspective?
Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as organizations think about this concept of mad tech and marketing and advertising data coming together, it's going to result in better customer engagement, right? So it's going to result in organizations being able to use the massive consumer data pools, sources of data that ad tech offers. And it's going to allow them to combine that with the contextual targeting and hyper-personalization techniques that MarTech provides, right? So, you know, for the end consumer, I think it's going to result in in-stream advertisements that are better, they're more relevant, they're actually enjoyable, right? I'm interested in that offer because that's something that I just looked at on a marketing channel the day before versus, you know, the way that a lot of these in-stream advertisements and other kind of advertisements have worked up until this point, there's no real relevance associated to them, right? So I also think that as organizations start looking at first party data, they should look strongly at alternatives to, you know, big tech, right? So consumers are, you know, seeking, you know, they want relevant relationships with brands. And, you know, as data deprecation is occurring, we're going to see a data grab occur where, you know, a lot of big tech providers, as they know second and third party data is going away, where it's going to be harder to get to, you know, they're grabbing as much data as they can and they're storing that in what's called walled gardens, right? And so I think that if consumers want to continue to protect their privacy while, you know, allowing brands to deliver relevant engagements to them, then, you know, they're going to have to think about how they can engage in these value exchanges that make the most sense for them and really allow them to get to these offers that make the most sense for them, but are also benefiting the brand. And I think we'll certainly see that as mad tech becomes more and more of a reality.
Yeah. And so what are some of the changes that brands need to make in order to really embrace this approach?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that it's really thinking about, you know, how to control their data, right? Data governance is a very broad area that, you know, we could have a whole nother podcast all in order,
right?
Four or five podcasts. But data governance is something that brands need to put at the forefront, right? So, you know, they have to think about, you know, how they, in, like, you know, just like we talked about with the customer data platform, how they ingest the data, how they store the data, how they protect the data, how they share the data. That's first and foremost. You know, the second thing is, you know, joining that data and applying insight to the data, right? Just because you have the data doesn't mean you should always use the data.
Right,
but if you do have it and you have the right analytical techniques that you can layer on top of that, then you're going to start to, you know, see a lot of decisions and see a lot of insight that you might not have seen before. And then I think the third thing is from a kind of an action perspective. It's all about integration and extensibility, right? So as you're thinking about bringing marketing and advertising use cases together into this concept of MadTech, you really need to think about, you know, do I have the right solutions in place, right? Can my customer data platform talk to my advertising solutions and vice versa? Can my MarTech and AdTech solutions talk to each other and vice versa? So it's really about, you know, thinking about how everything works together in your ecosystem, because as we move into this kind of new environment, things are changing, and, you know, flexibility, extensibility, integration, those are all kind of top of mind for me, and I think they should be for brands as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so one last question before we wrap up, and kind of keeping on this topic of customer journey activation and measurement, what's a piece of advice you would have for an organization that maybe they're not too far along in their maturity there, but they want to take a first step towards omnichannel customer journey activation and measurement? What would you recommend they do?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to sound very commonplace and trite, but it's so real that I have to use it. And that is, think about the experience from the customer's point of view, right? And so there are techniques, right? We've talked about customer journey activation. There's also techniques around, you know, customer journey optimization, which is slightly different, but it really involves, you know, really, instead of forcing a consumer down a predefined marketing or advertising created path, right? Guide them, pull them, set up guardrails where they can make their own decisions to get to that end conversion event by, you know, and you as a brand are offering them, you know, steps and content and those incentives along the way to get them to that conversion event. Because the last thing, you know, as we talked about at the top of the podcast, as consumers have changed, the last thing they want is to be forced down some marketing or advertising path that doesn't make sense to them just because, you know, the organization's got some money to spend on this initiative, right, or this marketing program or what have you. So, you know, that would be my one piece of advice. It's really, you look at it from the consumer's point of view. If you as an organization think it comes across as, you know, annoying or interfering or what have you, then it probably does from the consumer perspective. So I would certainly, you know, tell organizations to keep that in mind as they move forward.
That's great. Yeah. Great advice. Well, again, I'd like to thank Jonathan Moran, Head of MarTech Solutions Marketing at SAS, for joining the show. You can learn more about Jonathan and SAS and access the white paper we've discussed by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to the Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GREGKILSTROM.com. To get a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, visit my website, or you can find it on Amazon or other retailers. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.